Our annual Christmas episode is coming up, and this year we want to know how you debunked Santa Claus as a kid. Did you set up an experiment? Did your parents tell you, or did you figure it out yourself? You can email your Santa story to spookysciencesisters@gmail.com or DM us on one of our social media accounts. Your story can be short, long, silly, sad, or anything in between. It just has to be in our inbox by the evening of Sunday, December 19th. Happy holidays!
I have seen like more turkey manslaughter though than the average person. So the ones my dad hit, and then once when I was jogging in grad school, somebody was like, I was by the arboretum and somebody just like nailed a turkey that was out on the road, and that was not great.
I like how you say that you've seen more turkey manslaughter than the average human and then follow it up with another turkey manslaughter story as if the six turkeys you'd already seen get killed wasn't enough.
Here's the thing. I'm bad luck for turkey.
I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters.
Hello, you're listening to Spooky Science Sisters, a podcast where we present to you a science-based and probably very giggly discussion on all things strange and unusual.
In this Thanksgiving special, we're going to talk about spooky birds, because a lot of you are about to eat some birds, so maybe this will make you feel a little bit better about it. But first, it's time for something spooky. So, Megan, has anything spooky happened to you in the last 5 weeks, 4, 6 weeks, however long it's been?
I think it's only been like 3.5 weeks.
It feels like the longest 3.5 weeks.
It's ever. Been a lot. Yes. Well, we can finally reveal officially to the world that the Spooky Science Sisters are very shortly going to occupy the same city, because I got a job where Paige lives and we will be moving up there like between Christmas and New Year's. Woo! Because we're insane.
Which like so, is the first time that we will live in the same city since I was like 12.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah. Since 10? Yeah. Since I was in high school. So we are very excited. But yeah, I feel like we've come around some sort of circle here, because my something spooky this week is like for sure the housing market.
We're back.
We're back to this, you guys. Because I have to be out of my current house by December 29th, and I currently have zero house to move into. And we're moving on to house number 4. Trying to find one to buy. So it's not looking great, but luckily Paige has a big basement. So great about that.
Yeah. Not only are we going to be living in the same city, we are going to be living in the same house.
Potentially for a while. This might be the end of the podcast, you guys. Okay, so more related to this, and this is more, it's not spooky at all. It's just a story that I think is hilarious, although it's like not hilarious for the turkeys involved. But I will never forget, I was on a family trip with my parents when I was in high school, and I don't even remember where we were driving. I think we were somewhere in Michigan, but we like sort of came over, like crested this hill, and something must have like scared a bunch of turkeys, because they like took off like right in front of the car out of the woods. And my dad just like bowled down like 6 turkeys.
Oh no. Like, when was this?
It was like when I was in high school. Like we were on a train. Oh. It was just like thuds.
Oh no.
Like 5 or 6 turkeys just getting destroyed by our car going like 75 miles an hour down the highway.
Poor turkeys.
I know. It was just like, what the fuck are you doing? There was like no cars anywhere close to being ahead of us. And like there were no cars behind us. And it's like, you picked right now to fly across the highway. What are you doing? So anyway, That's like proof. Turkeys are morons.
When Elliot, when we were moving Elliot up here, he was the one driving the like the U-Haul. And his buddy Tom was with him, and they're driving on the highway, and he said a bald eagle flew like right in front of the truck, and he said basically just like, you know, you're in a moving or a U-Haul truck.
What are you gonna do?
So he said that like he white knuckled the steering wheel, and both him and Tom are like, whoa. Bracing for impact. Fortunately, it got out of the way, so they were fine. But like, apparently, they were both just in the U-Haul truck screaming.
Yeah, I think they like kick you out of the United States if you do that. Okay. So anyway, that's not a spooky story. That is just a potentially only hilarious to me anecdote from childhood. I just like cannot. It's probably you had to be there, but it was just like,
it sounds funny to me.
So yeah,
but also like kind of sad.
Yeah, like sad for the turkeys, but like I don't think they're hurting in terms of population. But just like the, I don't know. It was just oddly comical to have just like you just hit like six turkeys at once. It was 75 miles an hour down the. It was just like explosion of feathers. Anyway. So, Paige, you have actual spooky stuff to tell us about.
Yeah.
So,
well, one actually spooky story, and then one just kind of funny story. So, I talked, I think, on our most recent episode about our what we were calling our ghost here at our house. And this, like, just last week, we had like three nights in a row where something weird happened. The first night was when Megan and my brother were here. And like middle of the night, scared the shit out of me, woke up, like was rudely awakened by some like loud crashing sound. And it sounded like somebody had dropped their phone on the floor. So I assumed like one of the two of them was on their phone and had just dropped it. And, you know, whatever. Like we were both kind of like, oh, someone dropped their phone, went back to sleep. It was over.
We wake up the next morning, Paige is like, which one of you jags dropped your phone? And we're like, which one of you jags dropped your phone?
So nobody dropped a phone. So that happened. That next night, like after they had left, we were hearing these like weird thumping sounds. And like we sort of just thought it was like maybe our ductwork like expanding and contracting, but it had gotten like pretty, I don't know, it was like pretty loud and like pretty consistent. And we like still don't really know what it is that we're hearing. But then I guess it was that same night. We like always leave our dog. Well, we don't. Well, a lot of times we leave the dog in the basement and she just like sleeps on the couch or whatever. And we'll usually leave a light on for her. So that way it's like not pitch black down there for her all night. So we come up to bed and it's like been some time since we've been upstairs. And then like all of a sudden our dog totally freaks out, which like isn't uncommon for her. She's kind of a spaz anyway. But like, I mean, she is like barking up a storm and she won't stop. So I go down to like try to figure out what's happening. And I open the door and she like flies up the stairs and stands with her front paws like right at the top of the stairs, just like screaming down the stairs. And like with every step I take, she gets like more and more panicked. And all the lights are off downstairs. So like either, I don't know. Elliot is like swears he had the light on. So who knows? Maybe she bumped it. But it freaked me out because it's like I get downstairs and none of the lights are on and like clearly something totally freaked her out. So it's like either the light just shut off or something is down there with her.
Yeah. And like you guys checked the light bulb the next morning and like it's like the light bulb had gone off.
Yeah. We thought that maybe the light had burnt out. And then like the next day Elliot came upstairs and I was like, did you turn a light on for? And he was like, yeah, I turned that lamp on. And I was like, wait, the light bulb didn't die? And he was like, no, I'm not going to think about it. It was just sort of like,
oh, no.
So we don't really know what happened, but go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, the only thing that I thought of immediately was that you said she was prone to jumping on like the coffee table and stuff recently because she likes to jump up on the picnic table when she's at doggy daycare camp. So I was like, maybe she just like jumped up and like jostled the light enough that it like it just it turned it off turned and then it scared off. Her yeah. because, yeah, it probably like rattled around or something.
That's probably all it was. Yeah. Or your other theory was that it was a mouse, which like if you yeah. know anything about my dog, it's just hilarious to think that she'd be that panicked about a mouse. But anyway, so yeah. that totally freaked us out.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I mean, that is like classic horror movie shit. I mean, right. it's like basically the plot of Paranormal Activity unfolding in your house right now.
It feels a little bit like
that. A combination of like the first and the second movies. You just moved into this house together. You're a young couple. Like you're hearing things like thudding around at night. Things are falling or moving. And then like the dog's freaking out about the basement. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, me either. So thanks. You're making me feel a lot better about this.
Okay. Well, I tried to comfort you and come up with logical explanations via text, and you yelled at me about that. So, so now you're getting the spooky ones.
So that was my spooky story, but then mm-hmm. the not so spooky funny story is a couple weekends ago I had back-to-back weddings. I was in a wedding in Cincinnati on a Friday and then was going to another wedding Saturday in Nashville, which is like six or 7 hours between the two. The one on Saturday started like midday, and I knew that I wasn't going to have enough time to fully do my hair and everything. So I had decided that I was going to try to keep my hairdo from this Friday wedding for mm-hmm. Saturday and just like not wash it and just like let it go. So I had nice hair for the Saturday wedding. So we get back. We were staying with Elliot's family, and we get back to his family's place, and he's opening the door, and they have like a holiday wreath on the door, and he goes to open the door and just like turns the handle and then just sort of like bows in front of me, like his butt is just in the air, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's cold. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, come on, let's go. What are you doing? What are you doing? And he's just like standing there. And I'm like, come on, go. It's cold. So we finally get inside. He's like, sorry, a bird flew out at me out of the wreath. And I was trying to get out of the way because I didn't want it to poop on me. And I was like, oh, weird. I didn't see it. So we like go inside and like get all the wedding stuff put away. And like he goes to the bathroom and like brushes his teeth and gets ready for bed. It's like we've been inside for like 15 minutes. And then I go in the bathroom and I like go to the bathroom and I'm standing in front of the mirror washing my hands. And there's a giant bird shit in my hair. Gosh darn it.
Gee, babe, sorry you have to wash your hair like a normal person.
Well, here's the thing. The right side of my head had like a French braid in it, but the left side was just curled. Uh-huh. And it was the left side that the bird pooped on. So I literally only washed the left side of my head and then just recurled that hair.
Nightmare. Okay, so recently a bird shit on Paige's head. I can't. I'm like 2 seconds away from a nervous breakdown at this point. Okay, so this week we are going to do bird facts. Like we said, because in honor of Thanksgiving, and I think we promised before, like if a turkey has killed someone, we will find out. But what you'll find out is that we do have stories about the only birds that are known to have killed people. So it is going to get spooky. Paige, I think you are going to start us off.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Okay. So we did not find any killer turkey stories, but what we did find was a couple of Thanksgiving turkey facts. The first of those, so we were wondering how many deep fried turkey deaths, I guess, or house fires had been started, or how many house fires had been started by deep frying turkeys. And I found, so Fire Chief Danny Kuhlman, who I believe is in one of the fire departments in Georgia, but I cannot remember where in Georgia. But he reported that there have been over 2,400 fires from deep fried turkeys in the last 2 years nationwide. Those have caused more than $19 million in property damage, as well as more than 35,000 burn injuries.
Yeah. So it goes without saying, if you're going to deep fry a turkey, know what you're doing.
Right.
And also, when Paige initially read this fact to me, she's like, oh, there's only, she's like, there haven't been that many. And then she's like, there's been over 2,400. And I was like, oh, that's a lot.
That's so, just, it's a
so
lot.
So you guys should
less.
Know that, that Paige thinks a lot less of you guys than, than I do. She was expecting it to be worse.
I'm not gonna lie, I was expecting like tens of thousands over the last like couple years.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. So I mean, it's scary though. Like, if you ever watched footage of grease fires and stuff, it's
yeah, they're
terrifying.
They're pretty scary.
So yes, so be safe.
Also, I was wondering how many turkeys are eaten each year on Thanksgiving, and apparently that number is about 46 million turkeys every Thanksgiving.
So many.
22 million on Christmas and 19 million on Easter.
Jesus.
So
yeah,
I feel a little sad for the turkeys.
Yeah, that's spooky for the turkeys. That's spooky for
yeah, those six turkeys that your dad killed, like, that ain't nothing.
I have seen like more turkey manslaughter though than the average person. So they're the ones my dad hit, and then once when I was jogging in grad school, somebody was like, I was by the arboretum and somebody just like nailed a turkey that was out on the road, and that was not great.
I like how you say that you've seen more turkey manslaughter than the average human, and then follow it up with another turkey manslaughter story as if the six turkeys you'd already seen get killed wasn't enough.
Here's the thing. I'm bad luck for turkeys.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the first thing that we wanted to talk about was actually the Kentucky meat shower. So we wanted to revisit this. If you have been listening since the beginning of our show, we talked about this for the first time. I think it was in our third episode, so like very early on.
Yeah, I thought it might have even been one or two, so I could not remember.
Yeah, I thought it was one as well. And then when I looked back, I was like, oh, we talked about it a little later than I thought we had. I think it was like our very first Short and Spooky, though. If you haven't listened to that episode, I talk about it in a little bit more detail on that I'm going to right now. But like I said, we just wanted to revisit it because it is a bird-related story. So on March 3rd, 1876, in Olympia Springs, which is in Bath County, Kentucky, there were reports of meat raining down from the sky. So and over Alan Crouch's house, his wife was outside making bath soaps and stated that she looked up and saw meat falling like large snowflakes from the sky. And it was really just over like that area. Like, it was just around their house. This wasn't like all of Bath County, Kentucky. It was really just like this one area where it fell. So yeah, the meat falls and they don't clean it up right away. The Crouch family sort of leaves the meat out overnight and it dries out. And I remember like one of my favorite things about this story was the two men who like show up later and eat it to like try to figure out what it is. And it's like been sitting out. So on top of the fact that it's just like, we don't even know where this came from. Now you're like tasting this like meat that's been sitting out and dried out and gross. So
that's nasty.
And so, you know, like any person would do, I would think anyway, they had some people come out and look at it. And over the course of, and I don't remember if it was months or weeks or months, but over the course of time, they have several people who come out and try to explain what it is and like where the meat came from. And like I said, we cover some of those explanations, or really all of those explanations, in our third episode. Mm-hmm. But the most likely explanation came from Dr. L.D. Kastenbein, who's a professor of chemistry at the Louisville College of Pharmacy. They say that it is projectile vomit from vultures.
which makes it so much worse that those guys were like, let's taste it.
Let's taste it.
Because, like, vultures already eat meat that's been, like, sitting out for a while because they're scavengers. But, like, also now they've barfed it up.
And then it sits even longer.
There was another meat shower in their own bathrooms that night.
Yucko. So vultures are apparently known to vomit their stomach contents as a defense mechanism to make themselves lighter during flight. And black vultures and turkey vultures are found in this area in Kentucky. You know, when you first read this, you'd think, like, well, she would probably have looked up, right? Like, if there's meat mm-hmm. falling from the sky, you're probably not just going to be like, oh, meat. Cool. Like, you're probably going to look up and try to figure out where it came from.
Yeah.
So, like, my initial thought was, like, wouldn't she have seen a bird if it was up there mm-hmm. just, like, spewing meat everywhere? And mm-hmm. apparently, vultures can fly as high as 40,000 feet up. So it's actually possible that, like, the vultures could have been there and she just didn't see them.
That's crazy high.
It is super high.
That's just, like, absurdly high. That's, like, higher than Mount Everest.
I mean, this one says this vulture flies at 37,000.
That's crazy.
So, like, 40,000 might be a little high, but, like, I don't
think. No, but, yeah, like, rounding up, yeah. That's insane. Yeah, like, think about how small, like, a plane is, and it's flying at, like, 30,000 yeah. feet, and you can barely see it. And a bird, obviously, is much smaller than a plane, so it's, like, very possible that she just didn't see it at all.
So, basically, poor woman just making some bath soaps in her front yard and a vulture. And, like, here's the thing. I was mad about a bird pooping on me. This lady had a vulture vomiting meat on her.
She had a group of vultures barfing on her. In her yard. Here's the other thing that I thought about with this, sort of, I guess, after the fact, and something I can add to our interpretations. People said, like, oh, it could be vultures. I've also seen a lot of things lately show up, like, sort of these, like, this type of story where it's like this sort of sensational story that appeared in an old newspaper, like, in the late 19th or early 20th century. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, some of those, the consensus is, like, you know, they had slow news days and they needed to, like, fill it up. So, like, it's very possible that it was just, like, a very exaggerated or, like, not verified story on their part at all that they printed. So, like, wonder how true it really is in the first place, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, back when I first read about the Kentucky meat shower, we first talked about this, you know, 30 some episodes ago, I noted that there was also a story, a very similar story in 2012 on New Year's Eve in Arkansas. And, you know, people are out doing their New Year's Eve celebrations. And it says 100 birds, but, like, from what I gathered reading through it, it was at least 100 birds. Like, it sounds like it was just a lot of birds fall mm-hmm. from the sky. And so, I read about this back on episode 3, and I figured, like, when mm-hmm. better to cover this than the bird episode? At 11:30 on New Year's Eve in Arkansas, this is thousands of red-winged blackbirds. So who mm-hmm. knows? It was a lot of birds mm-hmm. fall from the sky. And they fell over 1 square mile mile in the town of Beebe?
I don't know. I guess probably Beebe.
Beebe, Arkansas. Which, like, spooky, right? You're sitting there, like, hanging out, celebrating New Year's Eve, and birds just start falling from the sky.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Pat Badley, who is the state veterinarian of Arkansas with the State Livestock and Poultry Commission Lab, studied at least 17 of those birds. And I'd read an interview with him, and his thought was that, like, something just scared them. Like, they were doing, like, fireworks, you know, in the areas mm-hmm. or there were, like, some, you know, loud sounds, and something just scared them enough that they basically, like, started flying into, like, each other or telephone poles or cars or, you know, whatever else could have been in their way. And they just all died. Like, mm-hmm. and just fell. I don't know. That's basically like where it ended. I mean, they don't really have any other explanations that I've found. There are like tons of conspiracy theories because there were also like a bunch of dead fish found in a nearby mm-hmm. river around the same time. You know how those things go.
Yeah. But I mean, like if the flock of birds had been near that river and something toxic had gotten into it and they got exposed to it too, like it's possible they could have all died from that.
Yeah.
But I guess like if the state vet had studied them and found some sort of toxin present, they probably would have disclosed that. Yeah. So
I don't know. I thought that was a lot of birds flying into a lot of shit, I guess.
Yeah. That's some horror movie stuff. There's several scary things where you see like massive amounts of birds like just die, freak out and die. So yeah, there you go.
We are gathered here today to give you permission to plan the wedding that you want.
I'm Jessica Bishop.
And I'm Sari Wienerman.
And we're the hosts of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
Today's couples have to juggle so many things, from family expectations to outdated traditions and what's currently trending.
So to make it easier, we're going deep to figure out why we do weddings the way that we do, so you can decide what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans.
You are cordially invited to subscribe to the Bouquet Toss wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcast.com.
By the power vested in us, we pronounce you free to plan your day your way.
So we've talked about birds barfing on us. We've talked about birds just dropping dead, which is spooky. Now we will talk about just like
spooky straight birds. Up
murder birds. So we're going to talk about cassowaries, which we will for sure link to photos on social media and on our website and potentially even in the show notes of these if you haven't seen them before. But like they're in the same family as ostriches, but like even more so than ostriches, they just look like dinosaurs. Like this is not a bird. It's a dinosaur that is still walking
around.
It
is a dinosaur.
It's crazy. So they're really big. They're I read up to 5.5 feet tall and weigh up to 135 pounds, so the size of a human being.
Yeah, and I saw 6 feet and 160 pounds, which like, you know, isn't I guess that much. That's a pretty big difference.
That's like a large person.
That's like
5.5 feet tall is a small person. Yeah. 6 feet tall and 160. That's a bigger person. So yeah, they're huge and they're dinosaurs. They look like dinosaurs. That's all that there is. They're just like 6 foot tall murder turkeys. So they are native to New Guinea and Australia, because of course everything terrifying is native to Australia. They can run up to 30 miles per hour, are considered the world's most dangerous bird. They can charge at people, kick them, headbutt them, and they have 3-inch long talons capable of disemboweling a human being. I put a picture in the notes of them.
It's like, terrifying.
It's just a dinosaur claw. Like if you've seen Jurassic Park and you've seen the like raptor claws like tapping on the floor in that kitchen scene, like this is not that different from that. For real.
I told Elliot that we were doing this episode and he's like, oh, what birds are you talking about? Of course, he has like all these different bird stories he wants us to talk about. But I told him we were talking about cassowaries and he was like, oh, those things are fucking terrifying. If I saw one of those, I'd be so out.
Yes. So I guess like one thing that potentially makes them different from like emus, and I guess I didn't check relative to ostriches, but rather than just kicking their back legs out, like kicking their legs backwards behind them, they can kick in like a forward and downward direction. So yeah, like basically they can run you down and then you trip and fall and they like kick you to death and disembowel you. It's a fucking dinosaur. However, importantly, this is a thing that only happens if they've been threatened or there have been deaths that have happened or, you know, attacks and injuries that have happened in places where people have taken to feeding them. So they begin to associate humans with food and get sort of pushy and aggressive with them. So it's like basically like bears,
gotcha.
You know, in the national parks. But like, look at the picture of the baby one.
So cute. I want him.
It's like a little baby dinosaur. Yeah. It's so cute. They're terrifying when they're older, but they are adorable when they're babies. Okay. So I had to include this quote. So this is from a Scientific American article that I read about cassowaries. And it says, it's well known that cassowaries can be dangerous and indeed together with ostriches are the only birds known to have definitely killed humans. So that's how we know that the turkeys have not done any murdering. But there's an add-on to that quote where they said update. So it says like indeed together with ostriches, update and chickens.
Yeah, okay.
Which I immediately had to look at.
Yes.
So I was like, excuse me? Like, how does a chicken?
A cassowary and a chicken are the only two.
Well, cassowary, ostrich.
Oh, ostrich. Sorry.
Yeah, and chicken. What? So I immediately clicked on the article and it linked to a Guardian article from 2011. And so I guess this was about 10 years old. So like maybe some other birds have gotten into the action like in the last 10 years. I guess I did not do my due diligence to double check that. But it says, and I quote, a man who was at an illegal cockfight in Central California died after being stabbed in the leg by a bird, which has a knife attached to its leg. So like, it's terrible that they were like, yeah, he was like this illegal cockfighting ring. And someone was like, you know, it would be great if the chickens also had shivs. Like,
what? I would argue that the chicken didn't really kill the guy then.
No. Yeah. It's, so like when I looked more into it, like it seems more like he, you know, he knew he was doing something illegal when the injury happened, and he waited a little too long to go to the hospital. So I think it's like either he went septic or he like just lost too much blood or something.
Okay, but also, like, how quickly does a chicken have to be running at you to hit you with enough force to actually stab you.
What I wonder though is if he was like trying to pick up the bird and it like kicked out with its knife leg.
I'm still surprised there would be enough force behind that to like really get you.
I know. My guess is like he must think about chickens. Like chickens have so many terrible germs, like that wound would get infected.
Yeah, even if it was like just even if it was just like a small puncture.
Yeah. So yeah, like even fair. If it was bad, like let's say that it was bad enough that he felt like, okay, I need to go to the hospital and like, get this stitched up. Like it's possible that like it just got so infected and then he ended up dying. So anyway, that's what I think. But it's still like I had to Google it or look at that story immediately because I was like, I'm sorry.
Chickens?
Dinosaurs? And then there's a chicken. But like arguably, you know, the chicken was the one who was the hero of the story. Okay. So the second part of this original quote that I read. So it says the only birds known to have definitely killed humans. So there's that definitely qualifier in the sentence. And that is because bits of children have been found beneath the nests of African crowned eagles. Excuse me? Bits of children? Okay. So like, so I'm guessing like they found an arm or something. I have no idea. But like, I guess it's like, it's not definite because it's unclear if like these are the parts of bodies that they scavenged and brought back to their nests or if they actually did the killing. But they're huge birds. Like they could kill a small child. But like I just was like, bits of children? Oh my God. Okay. And then there are also anecdotal accounts of golden eagles killing humans. So it's possible that this has happened. And I think like early humans, which I didn't look back at it, but I think like early like Neanderthal, you know, I think they had to contend with like some very large murder birds as well.
Yeah. So I'm stuck on the bits of children part. I'm so sorry.
I'm going to be honest. I just like, I probably could have looked more into it, but I was like, I don't want to know. I don't need any more information than the information that I already have about that story. It's fine. That's scary enough for me. I don't need to go any further down that rabbit hole. So.
All right.
Anyway, I'm definitely afraid of birds. Yeah. I feel a little, I, you know what? I'm already feeling a little bit better about eating that turkey.
Good. Okay. I'm glad this is working for you.
If it's not working for anyone else, it's working for me. Okay.
6 foot Paige. Murder turkeys. Okay.
Yes. You are next.
So the next bird, which isn't really a murder bird. Well, I guess it is a murder bird, but not people murder bird. The shoebill stork, which if you've ever seen a photo of, like, I don't really need to say much more about it, right? Like that these birds are freaking creepy looking.
They're intense looking. And like, I mean, they look like they don't even belong in this world either.
No.
Like they don't quite look as much like dinosaurs, but they look prehistoric.
They definitely do.
Yeah. They don't look right in the real, in like the modern world.
This thing has to be fake. So the shoebill stork is a solitary bird that lives in the swamps and dense marshes of eastern Africa. And there are references to the shoebill in ancient Egyptian wall paintings and hieroglyphics, but they weren't really classified until the 1800s when skins and eventually live birds were brought to Europe. At that time, they were considered close relatives to the stork. And obviously, I think that's why we call it the shoebill stork. It sort of looks like a stork in like a weird kind of way. Like a weird stork.
Long legs.
Yeah. But in 1995, after studying the shoebill's eggshells and some more recent DNA testing, they've actually reclassified them and have found they are more closely related to the pelican than the stork.
Which pelicans I also saw show up on sort of like spooky bird fact lists. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just because they're like, I don't know, they just like swallow their prey whole and stuff. So it's sort of intense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Which like this guy does too, but like,
oh, good.
Well, sort of. So we'll get there. The shoebills are very large birds with yellow front facing eyes. And I think that's what gives them like such a weird look. Like the beak and the front facing eyes like really get you.
Yeah. We'll link to photos. There's just like those sort of like, like straight on staring at your soul. It's like, oh no. Like, some relative of yours in the not too distant past, like for sure hunted and murdered my people. Yeah. Like there has to be something not too far back that was like, people taste great.
Right.
Okay.
They are also pretty big. They're about 5 feet tall, but their wingspan is like 7.5 to 8 feet. So
yeah,
like I watched a couple of videos of them earlier and it's like, it's crazy when they spread out.
They're huge.
But their beak is also pretty big. It's 7 inches long, which is the third largest beak of any bird.
There you go. But they tell everyone it's 10, right? Okay, I'm done.
So when the shoebill catches its prey, they will use their beak to decapitate their victim and swallow the rest of them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at least it's like the initial death part is quick.
It's quick. You know? And they primarily hunt, like they primarily eat fish or small reptiles.
Yeah.
And I think you put this note in here, but like their jaws, they can decapitate baby crocodiles.
Yeah. Which like, here's the thing. So I think like, I mean, crocodiles in Africa are like they have some of the enormous ones, right? They're like 20 feet long. Yeah, I think they're big boys. Shit. Yeah. So like, I don't know, like the baby ones are probably pretty small because I don't know, reptiles are weird like that where they just like continuously grow forever, but the babies start out super tiny. But still, that's like, that's so much strength. Like that has to be enough that like they could take off a hand. Don't you think?
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This says that a lot of baby crocodiles are like 7 to 10 inches long.
Okay. Well, okay. That's not that big.
No.
But I was still sad for the baby crocodile.
Yeah. Well, and like, I don't know. Maybe okay. They could take my hand. Probably they could.
Yeah.
But they also...
They would at least like break it.
Yeah. They would hurt me for sure. Yeah. If they wanted to. But the other kind of creepy thing about the shoebills is that they're mm-hmm. usually like very quiet birds. Like they don't make a ton mm-hmm. of sound. And I read somewhere that or one of the sources said that like they sometimes make like a mooing sound, but I only mm-hmm. read that in one place and I couldn't find like any videos of that sound. But what they do talk a lot about in like every source that I read was this like clapping sound they make with their jaws that sounds similar to a machine gun. And have you listened to the videos?
Yes. Yeah. I posted them there because I wanted to make sure that you saw them. There's the one where it's like in an echoey room and it's like, this just sounds like a gun.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
And it's apparently like very loud.
Yeah. It's like clattering their beak together, but they do it. They can make it super loud.
And like, I'm pretty sure, I mean, that's like their mating call, which is bizarre. So talking about their mating calls, they're monogamous birds.
Oh,
they find their mate pretty young and they stick to them. But apparently when the mama bird lays eggs, it will usually lay 2 to 3 eggs. And those mm-hmm. are like, they have like what they call, I guess, or what is called like the backup eggs. Because basically like they're laying eggs, you know, obviously the hope is that one of them survives. And then mm-hmm. the first to hatch will usually kill their siblings. So
they are murder birds.
They are kind of murder birds. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And as if all that stuff wasn't like kind of weird enough, I also learned that to keep themselves cool, they don't poop on your head. They poop on their legs.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So they have their beak clapping poop leg birds.
Yeah.
So these guys have gotten kind of a bad reputation because of their dinosaur-like appearance and their death stare, which we'll post a photo of. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, admittedly, it's all a little creepy, but they're really not considered dangerous to humans. So no need to worry about them.
Yay.
According to animaldiversity.org, the shoebill will not threaten humans, but will only stare right back at them. So yeah, they'll just watch you. So sadly, they are listed on the vulnerable species list, which is only one step above being considered an endangered species. Primarily, that's because of the diminishing of wetland habitats and overhunting. They think there's between 3,300 and 5,300 shoebills left. So yeah. There's not a lot of these big boys left. So reading about that, first of all, made me sad because they are cool. But it also made me want to take a second to acknowledge the rapidly declining bird population. And so I looked at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology website, and they say that nearly 3 billion birds in the U.S. and Canada are gone since 1970, and that grassland bird populations have decreased by 53%, which is like sad, but also like kind of scary. And a quote from lab director John Fitzpatrick, a staggering loss that suggests the fabric of North America's ecosystem is unraveling. And I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to talk about it for too long. I just wanted to mention it and suggest that if you have time, you can head to the link, which will be in our show notes, and take the time to read about the declining bird population. They've got a lot of good information on there, and they have some stuff on there about like what we can do to try to help save the birds. So
Well, and there's some scary stuff going on with like this, like it's like a weird disease that is killing birds that they don't really understand.
Yeah.
It's like making its way westward right now. So like, you know, if you I'm sure they talk about it on there, like which states that you should be taking down your bird feeders So that way you don't have like a bunch of like different species sort of like contaminating each other, yeah. or like giving each other's germs. And yeah, like there's all sorts of stuff with like, we should all be like turning our lights off, like our porch lights off at night, because they're disorienting for migratory birds and stuff. So anyway,
all right.
Well, I appreciate your environmentally responsible.
Hey, yeah, I did something for the birds.
We think some birds are scary, but that doesn't mean they're not awesome.
Right.
So for my second topic that I looked into, when we started thinking about spooky birds, I immediately thought about owls because owls sort of have this association with spookiness and witches and Halloween. But it's not just that. Owls have also been known to attack humans. And they've had this association with sort of evil for a long time. So Pliny the Elder once called them the very monster of the night, claiming that a sighting of them was a sign of evil. So they have been, you know, considered this sort of bad omen in folklore for a long time. And I think that's just because they're sort of, you know, we associate them with the dark. They are just sort of naturally freaky. They make weird noises at night. They fly silently. They can rotate their heads around 270 degrees. So yeah, they're just sort of weird birds.
They are weird, but they're so beautiful.
Yes. Oh, I absolutely love owls. Like, I know I've heard that they make terrible pets because, you know, they're birds of prey and, like, you know, people just can't provide a great environment for them. But yeah, the videos that I see of people like petting the owl's little heads and stuff, it's just, oh, I want one. And like Harry Potter, yes. Really like got it into my head. Like, this is the ideal pet.
This is what I need.
Yeah. But importantly, they have attacked people, or they do attack people on the regs. There's usually an increase in owl attacks on both dogs and humans in winter. And this is when their regular food sources get more scarce and they start nesting in the winter. So with respect to dogs, they might be trying to eat some of the smaller ones. With respect to humans, they're not trying to eat them, but they will dive bomb you for getting too close to their nest. So it's just like a protective thing. And there are other birds of prey who behave this way, like raptors and stuff will swoop down on you. And like, heck, even like red-winged blackbirds freak the fuck out when you get near their nests in the spring and will like swoop down on your head. So it's like they know that they can't kill you, but they can really mess you up. So their flight is silent. So you don't hear them coming, or it's near silence. You don't hear them coming when they swoop down. And, you know, they're just going to try and sink their talons into your head. And I was shocked. So owls can apply a force of up to 500 pounds per square inch with their talons. So they're incredibly strong because they have to be able to like grip onto things and carry them away from the ground with them. And this is actually this is sort of like spooky true crime too, Paige, because this is one of the hypotheses as to what actually happened. Yeah. To Kathleen Peterson, whose husband, Michael Peterson, was convicted of her murder after she was found dead on their staircase. So if you've watched the true crime documentary, The Staircase, you'd be familiar with this. And I think they cover it in the Criminal podcast as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some people think that she might have been like reading out by their pool at night, and a barred owl swooped down on her when she got up to head inside. She'd like maybe had a few drinks. And like, if you've ever gotten any sort of head wound, they bleed a ton. So it's like, she was probably, if this is what happened, she was probably, you know, losing quite a bit of blood from the wound. If it was deep enough, she was disoriented. She ends up falling down the stairs, and, you know, the rest is history, right? It ends up looking like it was Michael, and, you know, that she sustained some sort of blunt force trauma, and, you know, he ends up getting convicted
for it. If this owl story is true, then they would be added to that list, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So other than that suspected death, there are no documented cases of them killing people. But people do get pretty seriously injured. Yeah. Because again, like any sort of head injury is going to bleed a lot. And so like people, there was some story, and I didn't write down the particulars of it, but some story of a guy who was like hiking or snowshoeing or something in the winter, and an owl swooped down and, you know, got him with his talons. And like, he thought that he was going to die like from blood loss, like before he made it out. Oh, yeah. So they can be pretty intense injuries. So one reason the owls are spooky. The other reason is that I think the owls account for a lot of some famous cryptid and even alien sightings. Because they're just sort of freaky looking.
Yeah. Especially if you see them at night and like don't get right. The full like outline or whatever.
Right. You just see like the flash of these big eyes and like, yeah. And someone, an article also mentioned that probably ghost sightings as well, because you can imagine like you just see this sort of like silent flash of white, especially like barn owls have mm-hmm. those bright white bellies. Well, it's like swoops down in front of you. You'd be like, oh my God, I just saw a ghost in the woods, you know? Mm-hmm. So two specific cases of this that I was able to find. So one is, and I included the picture and we'll share it, but a couple years ago, this video of these owls in an attic, and I think it was in India that had been taken, but it went viral, and it's just these like freaky little birds standing in the attic. They're just weird. They're young enough that they haven't gotten their like full like fluffy feathers like you see with baby owls. So they just look like some sort of weird alien cryptid.
They do a little bit.
Yeah. So one of the very popular tweets about this said that the person was convinced that people who like claimed to have seen aliens had really just seen baby owls.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's sort totally of, buy that. It sort of just looks like they're standing up straight with like their arms to their sides.
Right. And like with the beak, like the point of the beak in their face, like it's that classic like gray alien, like pointed chin.
That's really look funny. To it.
You could blur them out a little bit and like they would just look like little alien guys.
That's funny.
Yes. The other specific example I found was people thinking that Mothman sightings are actually just owls. And this one, like, I 100% buy. So I do think it's an interesting association because Mothman, right? You see Mothman and it's supposed to be this like this bad omen, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a warning of something bad to come. And it's just interesting that owls and in folklore have been seen that way as well. Like they're like some sort of warning about something evil or bad. Anyway, so Joe Nickel, who is an investigator for the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, he thinks that that Mothman sightings, and including like the very famous ones from when it all started, are people seeing owls. He also thinks that the Flatwoods Monster is also just an owl. And that's sort of like a weird little, like very town or area specific cryptid. Mm-hmm. It is a hissing clawed entity that scared a family in Braxton County, West Virginia. I think they were out in the woods at night and there was this like bright flash. And so people think that there may have been like some sort of like meteor that fell and lit up the sky. And then they like saw, you know, startled a barn owl in a tree afterwards. And like, that's what scared them. And if you look at the pictures of the Flatwood Monster, it's like, yeah, that could just be an owl that like people saw really quickly in the dark. So a lot of people have claimed that Mothman could be a barn owl. And barn owls do make a lot of weird vocalizations that include like hissing and clicking noises. So, you know, that would be really freaky to hear in the dark. Yeah. However, barn owls lack a strong eye shine in the dark. So that's like the flash you see of nocturnal animals' eyes when they get exposed to light, or like, you know, the deer's eyes in the headlights thing. And Mothman is supposed to have these like glowing red eyes. That's like a big thing in the story. Mm-hmm. So this could mean that Mothman sightings are actually sightings of the barred owl, who have a red eye shine because they have a large amount of blood vessels around their eyes. And if you look at the picture that I included, it's like, yeah, if you saw that and like you just saw like the eyes. And I think owls are also like, I think they're one of those birds where they're bigger than people expect them
to
be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they have like pretty big wingspan. So if it's like swooping down and you saw those red eyes coming at you, like that would freak me out.
For sure. Even if you knew what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely like I haven't seen very many owls in my life because, you know, they're hard to spot. But the ones that I have seen and like I've, you know, been hiking or doing field work and a couple times have like startled one that's like swooped away. And it's like, oh, it gives you a fright.
Right.
Yeah. So owls as cryptids, owls as possible aliens, owls as possible murder birds.
Right. Well,
I feel we found some spooky stuff about birds.
We did.
So go enjoy your turkey. Happy Thanksgiving.
That wraps up our episode on spooky birds. Tune into episode 39 when we do our Christmas special, the Santa Listener Stories. If you like this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpookySciPod, Facebook at Spooky Science Sisters, and at our website, SpookyScienceSisters.com. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at SpookyScienceSisters@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening, stay spooky, and happy Thanksgiving.
Did you guys hear about that couple that went on vacation and one spouse murdered the other? In fact, the entire vacation was planned just so that they could make the murder look like an accident.
Ah, so like a slaycation.
Oh boy, sounds like a fun new true crime podcast to me.
On every episode of Slaycation, we'll examine true cases of people who were killed while on vacation.
Was it murder? Or just a horrible accident? That's up to you and the law to decide.
But either way, if you leave for your vacation in the plane and come home under the plane, you've definitely gone on a slaycation.
Join us every week for a fascinating new episode.
911, what's your emergency?
But make sure to pack your body bags,
because getting away can be murder.
This is Slaycation.